Next Sunday, Dr. Chilungi will be here with us from Zambia, and our mission worker, Nancy, will also be here. And they will begin a several weeks visit in our presbytery. We will have a barbecue after worship to welcome him and Nancy, and everybody is invited. Please bring a dish to share at that barbecue. It'll be just exactly like what we have on Tuesday night, so it'll be on Sunday around, you know, shortly before noon. And it'll be a wonderful time for everybody to get to meet Dr. Chilungi and visit with Nancy in one of her brief visits here. And he will also be preaching, so make sure that you come next Sunday. And that will kick off our time where we'll also remember on the 20th, we'll be having the Jamboree for Zambia to raise money for the Bible school in Zambia. So keep that in mind, and there are tickets that you can pick up. Jenny, do you want to say more about it? This will be a major fundraising event, and we're trying to raise money to have wells available for the school. So it's a very needed thing. In anticipation of that, we are going to try yet again to sing a hymn. It is not from Zambia, however. We're going to be singing in Shona, I believe is the language. And this time I have tried to put, it'll be on the PowerPoint as well as in your bulletin, phonetic pronunciation for the song. It is, if you look in your bulletin on the first page, it's in bold print. And it is Uyai Mosi Tinamate Mwari. Uyai Mosi Svino. And we'll sing the Uyai Mosi Tinamate Mwari three times, and then you sing the Uyai Mosi Svino one time. We'll sing it two times in English, which is the first set of lines, come all you people, and then we will sing it in the, three times, and then we will sing it in Shona three times. In the bulletin it says three times, right? Oh, the lines three times, I'm sorry. I'll confuse you all before we even get started. We sing the first line three times, repeats three times, and then the last line is only once. And we will sing it in English twice, the whole thing through, and we will sing it in Shona, the whole thing through, twice. Now that I've sufficiently confused you, we will prepare to worship.
Thank you. Let us join our hearts and voices in the responsive call to worship. We will give thanks to you, Lord, and call on your name. Glory in God's holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Praise the Lord.
Let us worship God. Let us stand and sing praise to our God. Atazeh hymn reads, O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me. We are assured that God is close, that God does come close to us and listen to us. We are assured thereby that we can be honest with God about our sin and about our failings. During our time of silent confession, I invite you to read our prayer confession in silence, applying it to yourself. Then we will offer this communal confession with one voice. With one voice, let us confess our sin. We are to love one another, yet we choose some over others. When it comes time to serve you, we are not that zealous to act. We do not pray as we ought, nor do we seek your guidance often enough. Forgive us, God, our wayward behavior, and help us to live in harmony with one another. Through your grace and mercy, may we live peaceably with all. Amen. Gordon Light writes, joy comes with the dawn. Joy comes with the morning sun. Joy springs from the tomb, scatters the night with her song. Joy comes with the dawn. Hear and believe the resurrection dawning good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Be at peace. Amen.
We've come to the time in the service when we share our joys and our concerns.
I think this congregation should have a great big joy, and that is to see Andrew Foster here in church, okay? And the concern I have is the continued prayer for Melinda Brailsford and Nancy Moreland on general health issues. Thank you.
Prayers for Melinda and Nancy.
We have a joy, a new member of our family. Last Sunday, my nephew, John Douglas McDesey, was born, weighing over 9.5 pounds, but everyone is doing well. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers. I mentioned that last week.
Joy at the birth of John Douglas.
I want to share a joy with the congregation. On Thursday, Milton and Jamie and Judy and I got to witness the citizenship ceremony of Jeanette Nahimana, who is the mother in the Burundi family that we work with, following fast on the heels of her husband Ernest, who became a citizen a couple of months ago. So it's a celebration, and there's a picture of a group of us who were there on the bulletin board in Hope Room that you can take a look at.
Jeanette on her citizenship.
I'd like continued prayers for Walter. A couple of nurses have told me that he is afraid of dying. He's expressed it to them, but he hasn't expressed it to any of the family. So I'd like prayers that God will help him as he proceeds.
Prayers for Walter.
It is a joy. It was a joy yesterday to help Angie get to. Yesterday there was a prayer summit at the Presbyterian Center at Holmes, which happens to be the camp that my father runs. So we went down and spent the weekend with my dad and stepmom, and she went to the prayer summit for PALA, which is Pan-African Leadership Youth Academy. And so it was a great opportunity for her to network, and hopefully there'll be more leadership opportunities there within the church. And the prayer summit was focused around the incidents in Ferguson. And so it was a really powerful morning, and it was a joy to be able to help facilitate that.
Prayers of joy for Angie and Jenny participating in the PALA prayer vigil or the weekend.
I'm requesting prayers for Denise. She's one of us. She had been out sick for quite some time. So let's pray for her. She's at home, not in hospital, but she's not feeling well. Thank you.
Prayers for Denise.
I have several this morning. Prayers for my friend Sharon, who had back-to-back car accidents last year. The doctors have just told her that there's some nerve damage, and she's quite frightened. So prayers for her as she deals with whatever comes next. Prayers for my friend Lily, whose mother is in the ICU in China. Lily went there and spent a month, but thinking her mother was at the end of her life, but she didn't go. So Lily is back here in the States, and prayers for their family. Prayers for me as I travel on Tuesday to Sweden, and prayers for a good time.
Prayers for Sharon, Lila, and Alana as she travels to Sweden.
We have a joy that Jamie and Julia are off to college and have started well. And also a prayer request. I work with InterVarsity's graduate and faculty ministries, and we are beginning a new year of ministry and fellowship at Brown, and have a barbecue that we're hosting Friday evening for graduate and medical students. So if any of you are here and you're a new grad student or new med student, or even a returning grad student or med student, I'd love to give you more information about that. And faculty as well are welcome to come. So would love your prayers for that. Thanks.
The InterVarsity kickoff barbecue, and students returning to colleges, schools everywhere, high school, elementary, but Jamie and Julia.
Hi, I'm Marta. It is said that you may be very unhappy not to have any shoes until you meet someone who has no feet. And I was feeling sorry for myself. And I met a woman yesterday. I don't think I'll ever see her again, but her name was Donna. 4 years ago, she gave birth to a baby who lived 5 minutes. Then her husband committed suicide. Then her brother committed suicide. Then her brother-in-law committed suicide. Then her father-in-law committed suicide. So she is a single mother of 3 children and is trying to get along. And I know that we don't know her, but she needs our prayers.
Prayers for Donna.
Just continued prayers for my father, Bill, as he moves forward after the loss of his father and his wife. And he had a little health setback this week. He's lost quite a bit of weight, as you can imagine, since his wife passed away. And his blood pressure medication needed to be changed. He had lightheadedness and symptoms of very low blood pressure. So fortunately, they caught that, and he's doing much better. But I'd also like to ask for prayers. I have a cousin and a niece who are off to college and are nervous about kind of a new adventure, and I know that Kathy just asked for prayers for the returning students and new students. So I think it's a scary time as some of these teenagers go off and on their own for the first time. So prayers for them.
Lori's father, Bill.
I'm still requesting a prayer for my cousin and his wife. They had an accident in Ghana. They are still in hospital, so I need a prayer.
Vivian's cousin, who was in an accident and still in the hospital.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, compassionate, redeeming Savior, holy, powerful, transforming spiritual presence, we have praised you, we have confessed our sinfulness, and have been assured of your mercy, and we have heard the joys and concerns of this community of faith. We are a grateful people, O God. We are thankful for the joy that comes with forgiveness, with the peace that comes from your presence, with the grace that is offered to all humankind, the grace that is new with the dawn of each new day. Specifically, we are thankful for Andrew's presence with us, for the birth of John Douglas, for citizenship granted to Jeanette, for the prayer summit and all that it meant to all those who participated, for Jamie and Julia off to school, off to college, and for all who are returning to classes and to new challenges. Loving God, as we are grateful and thankful, with humility we seek your blessed presence and transforming power with those who are ill, those who hurt, and those who need your guiding hand. Specifically, we offer prayers for the PNC and their faithful work, for all those who are traveling, specifically Pastor Chris and Janik. We offer prayers for Melinda and Nancy Moreland, for Walter, for Denise, for Sharon, for Lisi, for Yuluma as she travels, for Kathy's intervarsity work and all college students, for Donna, for Bill, for all who are hospitalized. God of compassion, listen to your children praying on bended knees, with needy hearts, with open arms, with simple words of heartfelt thanks we come. Believing in your promises we come, sealing our prayers with one voice, praying as Jesus taught the 12 to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
It is time for the children to come forward. Good morning, everybody. I was going to tell you a story today about a man from the Bible named Moses. Have you heard about Moses? Remember, he was the one who was in the basket in the river, and the princess, the Pharaoh's daughter, found the basket and adopted him, right? Well, he ended up being a shepherd. When you're a shepherd, you have to carry a big stick, right? Because there'd be wild animals around, and a lot of them had hooks on the end so that they, one of the sheep got away, you could take that hook and kind of go get it to come back or rescue it from over a cliff or something like that. But God came to Moses and told Moses, and said, Moses, I've seen how horrible the people in Egypt, your Hebrew people, are being treated, and I want you to go and get them out of there. And Moses said, no, not me. I can't do that. And so there's a whole lot to this story, but one of the things that God told Moses was that he would give him great power to convince everybody that he was the right one to lead him out of Egypt and take him to a new place to live. He didn't think he had the ability to do it. And God said, well, what's that in your hand? And he says, well, it's a staff. And God said, well, throw it down on the ground. He did. And it turned into a snake. And God said, pick it up again. So, you know how to pick up snakes? Yeah. Very carefully, right? So he goes over and he grabs that snake and he goes, ah. And all of a sudden it was a staff again. And God said, take your hand. And I want you to put your hand inside your coat. And so Moses put his hand inside his coat. And he pulled it out again, and it was all white and sick-looking. It was really diseased. It was all bad, nasty-looking. And God said, okay, put it back in your cloak. So he put it back in his coat again. And he pulled it out, and it was all well. And God said to Moses, okay, if they still don't believe you have all kinds of power and you can lead them out of Egypt, He'll get a bucket of water out of the Nile River and pour it on the ground. So Moses went and he got that bucket of water and he poured it on the ground and it turned to blood. And that was supposed to convince the people then that Moses would be strong enough to take them out of the land of Egypt. You think Moses was convinced then? Nah. He said, nah, God, I can't talk. I don't speak very well. And God said, well, take your brother Aaron and let him do the talking. I'll tell you what to say. You tell Aaron what to say, and then Aaron can do all the talking. Now get out of here and go. That's about what it amounted to. And so Moses basically had no choice at that point. He got up and he went. And so that's the story of how Moses finally was convinced to go and lead the people out of Egypt. Okay, let's pray together. Thank you, God, for Moses, who shows us that God is with us and gives us power we didn't know we had, and that we can do anything you ask us to do. Thank you, God, for being with us. Amen. You can go back to your class.
Let us pray. O God, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may be led into your truth and taught your will. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our scriptures this morning are as usual projected and may also be found in your pew Bible on the pages noted in your bulletin. The Old Testament lesson is from Exodus, chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses! And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, If I come to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations. Our New Testament is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, beginning at verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Moses. Last we saw him, he was being taken into the Pharaoh's house to be raised in a privileged atmosphere far away from the slavery of the Hebrew people, of which he was one. And now all of a sudden we find him taking care of sheep. What in the world happened? It was years before I realized the full story of Moses. Everybody loves the story of the baby in the basket, called the Ark, as Kathy told us last week. It's a great story. And we love this story of the burning bush. It's glorious. But how in the world did Moses end up on a mountainside with sheep looking at a burning bush? Well, back there in Egypt, he was out taking a nice stroll one day, and he saw one of the Egyptians beating one of the Hebrew slaves. Indignant and angry that this was happening to one of these Hebrew slaves, Moses killed him. Pharaoh, in turn, wanted to kill Moses. And so Moses, being a wise person, ran away. And he was fortunate enough to come upon this country of Midian, found a wife, and ended up shepherding the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. So he's out here on this mountainside. He had taken his sheep out a little farther than usual, and he's on the mountain of God, Mount Horeb. And he catches sight of a bush burning. But what makes Moses different than most people is he bothered to take the time to go look at it. There have to have been other people around. But Moses took the time to go look at it, and he suddenly realized, hey, it wasn't turning to ash. It just kept burning. And out of the bush comes the voice, Moses, Moses. This was no chance occurrence. This man is being called by name. You can't exactly ignore a voice that's calling you by name, even if it is out of a burning bush. And so Moses pays attention. And when God sees that Moses is paying attention, God says, remove your sandals. You are standing on holy ground. Moses is somewhat frightened because if you look at the face of God, you will die. So he turns aside, but God has words for him. I want you to go take your people, the Hebrews, out of the oppression of Egypt. And Moses says, who am I that I should do this? Who am I? Well, Moses knows himself pretty well, and he knows he's not the best person in the world. After all, he did kill someone. But God doesn't let him go with that. Who am I? Moses says, well, I don't know who you are. Who shall I say sent me? I can't just go up there and say, hey, I'm supposed to lead you out of Egypt. They're going to know who I am and why I'm there. Well, tell them, the God of your ancestors sent you. Well, what's your name? I am who I am. Moses was raised in an Egyptian household. He may not know this God of Israel all that well. But I am who I am. I will be who I will be. This is a God so vast that this God cannot be contained in a single name. This is a God who is I am. A shiftiness there that you can't get to pin down. And so Moses is supposed to go off at the word of the great I am and lead the people to this land of milk and honey. But as I told the children, he was not readily persuaded. God said, I would be with you. But Moses had his excuses. I'm not strong enough. Well, God chose him. He has God with him. So he'll be strong enough. Well, I can't talk. Well, for Pete's sake, take Aaron and let him talk. Get out of here. And so we have Moses reluctantly answering the call of God to do something that seems way too big and too frightening to Moses for him to do it. Isn't that the way? Or is it? Do we still find holy ground? Or are we so busy with our lives that we can't take the time to recognize a burning bush when we see one? It's kind of like when you're on vacation. You have your itinerary. We're going to stay here tonight, and then we're going to get up at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, and then we're going to go to this place. And tomorrow night we're going to be in Timbuktu, and we'll stay there, and then the next day we'll get on the, you know. We have our agenda. We have our plan. But somewhere along the road, you see this sign, and it says, such and such a cave. And there's something that pulls at you, and you say, I've never been in a cave. I wonder what that's like. And so you follow that tug, even though it's awful hard for you to give up on your agenda. You follow that tug, and you go down that road, and you go into that cave. And as you stand there and you look at the stalactites and the stalagmites and you see this glory, you think, oh, I could have missed this. But that tug brought you there, and you at that moment are on holy ground. We have the opportunity, but we are so busy in our lives. We have radios blaring, music blaring, TVs on. How can we possibly experience God's voice in our lives because we're never quiet enough to hear God? But God is there. We just have to be aware that God does break in. In these little moments when we least expect it, we are on holy ground. You're standing looking at the waves crashing on the shore, and you've been feeling desperate and alone, and all of a sudden on the tips of a wave, you see a rainbow. And it's as if God just said, it's okay. It's okay. I'm here. Or you look at a plant you've had on your windowsill for months. It looks dead. And all of a sudden you come down one morning and there's a blossom. A blossom on this plant you thought was dead. And God is breaking in and saying, new life is always possible. Don't give up. I'm here. I am with you. You stand on a mountaintop and you look out over the vastness of creation, mountain range behind mountain range behind mountain range, and you know in that moment the vastness of God, the Creator who made all of these mountain ranges, one behind the other. You're looking at a craggy, rocky mountain cliff, and you see one little lone pine tree clinging to the edge of the stone for life. And there it is. It bears a solitary testimony to the possibility of life, even in the midst of desolation. Sacred ground. Come to the table to share communion. And if we open our hearts and our minds to the possibility, God breaks in and Christ is palpably there with us in the breaking of the bread. And we can feel the communion of saints surrounding us as we take that bread and that cup. All of those near and far, those gone beyond our reach, are there. Sacred ground. And in those moments, God reaches out and touches us and says, I need you. I want you. I have something very special for you to do. And we can be like Moses and say, well, who am I that I should do that? I don't have those skills, or I'm not a very good person. Believe me, I've been there. When God said, I want you to be a minister, I said, oh, who am I? No. I'm just a sinful, horrible person. Why would you want me? And God said, that's why. That's why. Because you know what it's like to be sinful. And so God calls people like Moses, people like Jacob, the trickster. You, me, God calls each of us to a very special thing. And we're not called to be ministers, all of us. Aren't you glad? I would have been real glad if I hadn't been. Because it was the last thing I wanted to do. I was chair of personnel at a church. And the church was being sued by one employee. Another one clocked in and disappeared for the day. Another one apparently was stealing money out of the locked cabinets. And God wanted me to be a minister? Good grief. I had more sense than to do that. So God reaches into our ordinary lives and sets aside a moment and calls us. And calls us to be fantastic teachers or plumbers. Thank goodness for plumbers. Refrigerator repair people. Thank goodness for those people. And the ones who install air conditioning. Oh, I thank them. We all have wonderful special talents. And if we are doing something somewhere that just feels so right to us to be doing that, then God has called us to do that very thing. God has a need for us to do that thing right there, right then. And so we do that thing which is our bliss, as one writer put it. And that is a blessing to everybody else to whom it is not a bliss to do those things. The PNC has been laboring long and hard to find the pastor who is called to come to this church. They've talked a lot about what it means to be called, I'm sure. The thing is, it's not just pastors who are called. All the people in the pews are called as well to contribute to the life of the church right here in this place at this time. The church is not about ministers doing all the work of God. It is about the people of God being called to do the work of God in a particular place, in a particular time, in a particular way. And it takes everybody listening for God to figure out what this congregation is supposed to do, and we don't wait for a minister to be the idea person. So as this congregation calls a new co-pastor, you will have a whole new life. You're going to have a different relationship between those co-pastors than what you've ever had before. This church can no longer be what it was for any of the previous pastors. Even though Pastor Chris is still here. It is a new configuration that God is calling you to be. And you must labor together to be open to those holy moments when God breaks in. It's the most exciting thing in the world to be in the middle of a committee meeting. Yeah, committee meetings, I know we're famous for them. But it's the most exciting thing in the world to be in the middle of a committee meeting, a deacon's session, whatever it is, and to suddenly feel the ideas just popping out. Do you think that's us? That's God breaking in and saying, pop, 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 here are the ideas. And you have a group of people, all 10 of them in the meeting are in different places and believe different things, and suddenly, somehow, everybody comes to a unanimous understanding and agreement about something. Is that something we did? No. It's God working among us, and God calling each person in that committee meeting or each person in the congregation to be open to God's presence and saying, this is what I want Providence Presbyterian Church to be and do. Because this is my work in this place, and you're the best ones who can do it. And when the congregation takes ownership of a project, it doesn't matter if the minister is still there or not. Those things continue to be a part of the mission of that congregation. Congregation I served 10 years ago still has a mission project that started when I was there, but not because I said, this is what I want you to do. It's because it was driven by God. And they're still doing, and it raised $20,000 this year. And it's a congregation of 80 members. That's because it is driven by God. And these people know they are about God's work. So when God calls you, the people of Providence Presbyterian Church, to do something you've never done before, or you don't think you have the resources for, you have to remember God told Moses, I will go with you. So as you break new land, as you break into doing things in new ways and new things, and it looks really scary because you might have to risk, or it's different than anything you've ever done before, oh no. You have to remember, God calls us, and then God gives us the ability to do the things God calls us to do. And so you will be able to do whatever God calls you. The resources will be there. The talent will be there. And you, working together, people of God, like you've never been before. Because God goes with you. I am empowering you, enabling you to be the people I am has called you to be. God will go with you.
And together, the same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles through Scripture engages us through the word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and children. And now a word from Jenny.
Hi, I'm Jenny Surgenor. I'm the chair of the Outreach Steering Committee in all the different ways that God is calling us to reach out to our community and reach out to our nation and reach out to the world. I was thinking about the song that we sang today, Here I Am, Lord, which I learned when I was a little girl at church camp. Thinking about how I've always really enjoyed and loved that song because you're putting yourself out there and saying, I'm here, I'm ready to hear your call. But then hearing that call, but one of the things that I've learned over my time here at Providence Presbyterian Church is that finding those personal connections as a way, in a way that we find that call. So whether it's in our house groups when we get to know each other more and build relationships with each other, whether it's in RIAP, know people in our community and hearing their stories and thinking about how is God calling us to work as a community together. And Ollins, who is a member of our congregation decades maybe, I'm not quite sure, to serve as a missionary. And I've always just been so inspired that because I don't know the whole story, but I'm pretty sure she was just a Rhode Islander. She was just a member of this congregation, and she was in church, and I think maybe a decade or so, I'm not quite sure. So when I first came to this church, it was really inspiring for her to come back as a member of this congregation and to share those stories of the ministry and work she was doing in Egypt. And we, as she was moved and felt a different call to work in East Africa. And a few years ago, she came back and was sharing some of our stories about the work that she and in Zambia. And one of the things in Zambia is that, but there aren't enough devil churches and are overworked. And so this theological seminary was a way for them to be able to train more ministers and to try and keep up with that growing ministers some different skills too. So one of the big parts of the Tesefu Theological Seminary is they have a model farm there. And so they're teaching the minister out in farm, but also have a way of helping support their lifestyle too. Because as we know, ministers don't get paid a whole lot of money. Story. And so we went from supporting her general work in East Africa, which we still support, to also really supporting, the presbytery agreed to help support a 3-year capital campaign for the theological seminary. And so as part of that, if you know, we've been giving every year. Those have all been part of our fundraising efforts. But on September 20th, we're going to have our Jamboree for Zambia. Thank you, Andrew, for that title. It took us a long time to figure out a concert, different music, lots of different African music, but also our Ghana choir and the worship band and the chancel choir will be playing, singing or playing. So it's going to be to invite you to engage in that in a personal way, because it's also this really unique opportunity that Nancy Collins is going to be here sharing about more of the work that they're doing. I have to make sure, moderator of the Church of Central Africa, he is also going to be here. So it's just a really exciting opportunity for us to make that personal connection. We'll see this work being done, that personal connection for being able to, tell us what sort of things do they need help with now. So the majority of our funds that we raise from this concert are going to be seminary. It really is out in the middle of nowhere. And so I think they have a building. Be really important to. These are the tickets. There our suggested donation is $10. If you would like to take some to try and sell to your friends and family, I will have them during coffee hour. Whatever you don't sell, just bring the tickets back to me or to Cheryl. And there'll also be and then this is also the poster for the concert with all the information, the details on. Is that called the Narthex? The Narthex. Would like to take a poster or two and put them up in your place of work or at a school bulletin board. If you see it, that would invite them to come. You're more than welcome to take a few copies of the poster. But we're really, really into stories of the people that we're a few years ago had the chance to visit it, to go to Zambia to visit it firsthand. It was another way for us as a congregation to keep. So God is calling us, and God is calling us in this amazing way to support. I hope that you all will PM.
Hey, 3 more weeks. Hearing God's call on our lives and responding as we are able, let us continue in our worship as we present our tithes and offerings. gift that may be pleasing to you. Amen.
Go into the world in peace, in, and that you're standing on holy ground. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.